And ladies and gentlemen of the jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
This is the Hagman and Hagman Report for today. It is Monday, Memorial Day. It is May 27th, 2013. This is a live broadcast for Memorial Day. So as you are cooking those hot dogs, those hamburgers, the sausage and ribs, whatever you might be cooking on the grill, if you're from the Northeast, if you're in the Buffalo area, I'm sure it's, who knows what it is. Just sit back. Turn up your 3 or 4G listening device or your personal laptop computer. Have a listen to the Hagman and Hagman Report for tonight. You're about to hear 3 hours of news you would not normally hear elsewhere. You're listening to the only show where the news is presented to you in 3D, and we look well beyond the headlines, the bylines, and bring you the news that is behind the news. We broadcast live for those new to the program each and every weeknight from 8 to 11 p.m. Holidays, most holidays included. You can find us at our home base at homelandsecurityus.com. And we're also simulcast on normally through the Christians United Broadcasting Network, although tonight they are dark. I will say this. I want to give a big thank you to our neighbors to the north, CanadaFreePress.com. Thank you for tuning in, for carrying our stories and the information. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us, for your belief and your trust in us, as this is important because what we discuss is really a life and death type situation. I'd like to welcome Joe to the studio. Joe's with me in studio. He's my co-host. He's my son. He's a fellow investigator. He's earned his stripes and scars on his own. Welcome, Joe.
Glad to be here. Had a great day today. Hope everyone else did also. And we got a lot of news to get into tonight.
You sound very pensive, by the way. Very pensive.
I'm focused.
Well, that's good. I do want to welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to new to the program. I heard from people in Idaho Falls, Idaho. I don't know quite what the weather is like there. Hopefully it's good for you. And also in that same area, Elko, Nevada. Not quite sure where that is, but welcome to the Hagman and Hagman Report. New listeners, God bless you for tuning in. We got a lot of news to cover tonight, things that are going to be the headlines for tomorrow. Let's get a jump on them tonight. Joe, what do we got here?
Well, the first story I want to get into is out of Massachusetts. On May 4th, the town of Beverly, Massachusetts, threw a huge parade and concert for 19-year-old American Idol contestant Angie Miller, who made the top three in the competition. It is a great chance to show off our city, Mayor Bill Scanlon said. The city spent $31,000 on security, cleanup, and other costs associated with the events. So it must have looked like an odd contrast in America's values when the town of Beverly, Massachusetts then canceled its parade for Memorial Day today, 23 days later, a tradition for more than 100 years. Thousands turned out for the pop star, but few turned out for the heroic fallen. The headline, Idol Worship. Massachusetts town throws costly parade for hometown pop singer, then cancels Memorial Day parade.
So who did the most for the state of the Commonwealth of Massachusetts? Who did the most for the town? Let's see. Did the person that risked life and limb, or the person who risked, well, what, not winning a singing contest?
The city of Beverly said that they're calling off the parade this year because so few veterans would be able to march. The parade has been a fixture in the town since the Civil War. Jerry Ghibli, the city's director of veteran services, says it can be difficult for older vets to take part. Vietnam veteran Ron Innocenti told WBZ-TV he hates canceling because of the message it sends to current service members, but he does understand the reason. Anyway, Scanlon told Fox an idol didn't pay any of the cost, but tens of thousands of dollars of city expenditures were worth it. As for the cost to the city, Scanlon said, it is kind of our national advertisement of the year. Footage of Miller's visit, shot by Fox TV, will be shown on tomorrow's American Idol, a show that attracts about 12 million viewers. It's national publicity for the city. When you think about what people pay to advertise on the Super Bowl, this is kind of our opportunity at that, Scanlon said. Also, American Idol did not help pay for the hometown visit. The Boston Globe noticed the contrast on Sunday. Robert Gilbert, commander of Beverly Vietnam Veterans, was resigned to the parade's cancellation. He said, you have to be realistic about this. The past few years, there were very few people who attended. At another Beverly parade earlier this month for American Idol contestant Angie Miller, who had returned to her hometown, the route was packed. I said, this is the way our parade used to look, he said, but not anymore.
Now, what do we think is causing this lack of interest, this lack of honoring our fellow troops? Is it the fact that so few veterans have turned out, as they say? Of course not. No, not at all. It is the realignment of priorities, redefining priorities. And folks, if this does not indicate, show to you the, well, how would I even describe this? The realignment of our priorities. I've got to tell you, folks, we are in a lot of trouble here. Now, moving on.
Not just us.
Well, go ahead.
Our country. And people who...
Well, collectively, our country. Absolutely. Yeah.
People are saying they have no sound in the chat, and some are saying they have sound. Everything looks good.
Yeah, but folks, well, you're not going to hear this. You have to enable Java, refresh your browsers. A lot of this sound I have found after hours and days
most
of looking at this. Okay, right. A lot of this is operator error and not our operator, your operator. And I apologize, you know, but I got to tell you, you've got to update you got to know how to work your computer if you're listening to this broadcast on your computer. Please.
I went to listen to an episode. I wasn't logged into our Blog Talk account, and it froze my whole computer up the other day. Thought that was pretty interesting. I felt like probably how a lot of the listeners do on most days.
But by the way, the sound is good through the Apple iTunes store, I believe, or there is good sound on our stream through the Apple iTunes store. Say that Blog Talk is able to play for like 10 or 12 seconds and then the system, it cuts it out. But folks, download iTunes. It's free. It's a free application. It's not a very bulky application. It's a lightweight deal. And actually, you can get some pretty good alternative programs on that, including Rick Wiles and others. So.
Patrick Begley, just about everybody who has a show on Blog Talk, it goes to iTunes, and many other podcasts also go there.
And while we're off topic here, too, I want to mention Steve Quayle is going to be on Coast to Coast tonight for the last 3 hours. He's going to be on with George Norrie, Steve Quayle, on Coast to Coast for 3 hours tonight, talking about his new book, talking about some of the things we've talked about, and taking it national. Of course, we have seen... After having Steve Quayle and V on last Friday, we've seen what happened to the Bank of Japan. They're continuing their monetary easing, according to the Russia Times. Remember what V, the guerrilla economist, Russia Today, I'm sorry. Remember, and I've been getting a lot of emails about Russia Today saying, oh, how can you possibly listen to or read or put any stock in Russia Today.
Some of it's okay, and some of it isn't. You got to be careful what you
grab. Jeez, sounds like CBS, NBC, MSNBC, ABC. and so on. But the Japanese monetary authorities do not intend to pull out the extreme monetary easing and are considering extending the existing program. The minutes of the Bank of Japan's April 26 monetary committee meeting have revealed the board confirmed their intention to continue with the easing until inflation reaches the desired target of 2%. Some policymakers argue that 2% might be elusive. They say it's highly uncertain whether changes in inflation expectations would lead to a rise in the actual rate of inflation. Well, this according to the record of their April 26 meeting. Most members expressed the view that the year-on-year rate of change in the CPI was likely to follow a rising trend, reflecting factors such as the improvement in the aggregate supply and demand balance, as well as the rise in medium to long-term inflation expectations. And it was likely to reach around 2%, the price stability target toward the latter half of the projection period. Here's the bottom line. We're dealing with a fiat system of currency in Japan in such a way where, as the Gorilla Economist on our show last Friday, folks, if you have not heard that show, it's available for download. Just go on HomelandSecurityUS.com and click on the recent broadcast or on iTunes or your mode of preference and listen to it, because it carries a lot of important information in there. And also the Examiner. Folks, if you're not comfortable with RT, the Examiner, huge website here in the United States, Banking Insider, the Japanese have lost control of their bond market, and there's a 10-year yield chart that's there for you to see, and the slideshow as well for you to see. You've got to see it. And folks, please understand this. Understand what this means. Because what we're seeing right here is within a few more months, at best, you're going to see a global meltdown, essentially.
The Examiner article talks about V being on our show. 24th of May, a financial analyst and former head trader at the Royal Bank of Scotland spoke on the Hagman & Hagman report regarding the current state of the global economy. Known in the public sphere under the pseudonym of V and labeling himself the Gorilla Economist, this high-level insider stated that Japanese have completely lost control of their bond market. Later in the article, it goes on to say that the Gorilla Economist, along with a few select analyst forecasters who foresaw Japan as being the catalyst for the next global meltdown, predicted the current storm in Japan going back to January of this year. In fact, the roller coaster ride the world experienced in the entirety of the Japanese markets this last week did not only validate the volatility is out of control for the Japanese financiers, but the continuation and fruitless attempts by finance ministers to correct the market through the market chaos through quantitative easing and outright halting of their financial systems did little to satisfy investors. And basically confirming from day one that V was on our show, what they were saying was right, what he was saying was right. And it's only going to get worse from here. It goes on to say the events of last week in Japan, where the stock, bond, and futures markets ragged in uncontrolled chaos despite trillions of yen of quantitative easing and an outright halting of the bond market itself, gives strong credence to V's affirmation that Japan has completely lost control of their bond market and will result in a detrimental outcome for the rest of their asset-based markets. And that's how the article ends. And
you know, I'd like to interject something here. We had a confidential meeting between Steve, Joe, V, myself. I'm not going to give you the details, but it was extended. It was an extended meeting.
You missed somebody.
Steve, V, Joe, myself. Who am I missing?
W.
Oh, and the Intelligence Insider. Okay, I'm sorry. Yes. hey, it's a holiday, and it's Monday, so give me a break. But you know what I found, Joe? You know what I thought was one of the most important part of that that very long, and I mean very long meeting.
It was long, but it was very informative.
And if we could have captured that, boy, it would have made a show by itself. But you know what I thought was probably one of the most interesting parts of this? During the conversation about the money, about the financial collapse, two things came up. Two things I thought were just extremely important. The first thing that came up, and I'm not talking out of school here. There's some things that we're not going to get into, but there are two things that are okay to talk about. The first thing is the fact that there's a group of people out there in this country especially, who believe the Fed needs to be abolished. We are part of that. But what people are not getting is the fact that what this is going to be replaced with when the dollar tanks or is murdered, that is, it's going to be replaced with a global Fed, as V said. That was the one thing. But perhaps more prescient, if I could use that term, is the fact of what everybody thought, and everyone had an opinion about this, what the country would look like in the global meltdown, the martial law type scenario, whether it's 10 minutes, whether the dollar collapses in 10 minutes or if it collapses in 10 months. In other words, whether we go off that cliff at 100 miles an hour or 1,000 miles an hour.
There was a lot of good points made. One of the best ones I heard is how the currency of the U.S. is near and dear to everybody. Unlike when they see an attack happen in a different city on TV or a terrorist attack or some kind of catastrophe that's not in their area, the dollar will affect each and every one of us.
And the dollar will affect each and every country, whether you're listening to this broadcast in Panama or Paraguay or wherever you might be, in whatever foreign country you might be. The collapse of the dollar is going to affect you. It will have a resounding effect upon you. But those people living, we'll say, in North America, talking to the group of listeners here in North America, what I thought was very interesting was what we had said early on in earlier programs about people, the cities being the hardest hit, the cities going into martial law, the bigger cities like Pittsburgh, Washington, New York City, Los Angeles, and so on and so forth. It's people within those areas, the unprepared within those areas, who are going to be the most victimized, largely geographic in nature. And a point was brought up, and I did some research on this this is early this morning. I did some research on this. The Dust Bowl that happened in the late 1920s, 30s, right. A good point was made. There were people in this country who did not know that the Dust Bowl, that the conditions were such that this tragedy of sorts happened, that this geographic problem happened. And that's the way it's going to be here somewhat in the United States. There will be, depending on how communications are, there are going to be people that are on the East Coast that are not going to really know how bad the West Coast is, or if they do, there's going to be a difference. The effects will be different. So if you're living in Los Angeles, it's going to be a lot different than if you're living in Iowa, for example. And you might think, well, you know, no kidding, we knew that. But I think it's important for people to really understand that and prepare accordingly, prepare to where you are geographically, and if necessary, and if you pray about it and you feel the need to move, then move out of the way, move out of the cities. Don't forget, I think it was mentioned too, the vision by George Washington and the cities. What was it? And
the cities burning.
Cities burning, right.
Yeah, George Washington had a vision of America collapsing. But no, the talk last night was about the future of this country and what will it look like and what can be most effective way of reaching people and helping them understand what's going on and what to do, where to go. Obviously, bigger cities, they decided that that would be the last place you would want to be. And you would not make it out of those cities if you did not leave in time. But, I mean, what are we looking at here? We're looking at the country of America. We're having Memorial Day today, May 27, 2013.
Right.
We are gathering not just most people. Some people celebrate or remember their family members or friends who died fighting for the freedoms this country once enjoyed. But
right.
Those freedoms are no longer here.
Those people are no longer honored.
Well, maybe they died to give us time. Maybe they died as part of, I believe, all part of God's plan to set things in motion in a way that he did to where we are here now today. And we are in a time like we've never seen before, and I don't think it's going to go away. And coming to the point I wanted to make is the people, some people, worshiping America or seeing America as good or thinking they're special because they are an American. Especially
America,
in these times.
Yeah,
right.
You're talking about the exceptionalism of America.
They put their country before they put God. They put themselves before they put their family. They put their own wants and lusts and needs before others. And that is not how we're told to live. But it's this American exceptionalism. It is the mentality of the majority of people that America is a democracy, that they're entitled to certain things for free, that the government needs to be big so it can take care of them. And this has been a self-destructing pattern to the point now where our government is an oppressive, tyrannical regime running wild, doing anything and everything it wants to do. The militarization of the police, where 10, 20 years ago, it was nothing like this. We are not America anymore. We are not a republic anymore. We are authoritarian or tyrannical, under tyrannical rule. And the American flag, in my opinion, is a flag of a country that once was. So when I celebrate Memorial Day or July 4th, it's more like mourning for the country because the country's dead and it's never coming back. But we have to let that go. The more we hold on to that, and understand, America was just, it was a great country with freedom, but it was also a political system. And a political system is a part of this world. We are not supposed to be a part of this world.
Well, we are a part of this world. I mean, I understand what you're saying, and we go, folks, this is like the dinner table. And as you're celebrating Memorial Day, you belly up to the picnic table or the table, and you know, it's all part of it. But we are of this world. We, to the extent that we have to live and carry on. And we have to live to fight to the next battle. God instructed us to do this.
He also instructed us to do his will instead of our own. And many people want to take our government back, which I didn't think was a bad idea for a long time. Many want to riot and cause trouble and violently overthrow the government, as Adam Koscheck is kind of hinting to, and Nathan Liao shared his dreams that it would happen. the clashes between the government and the people. But we're supposed to be as far away from that as possible. And I'm not saying that from my own opinion. I'm saying that from a biblical point of view. We are not to be partakers in the looting, the rioting, the strifes, the fighting. We are called to survive. We're not going to lay down. But we don't have to be partakers in evil either. To save what? The nation that has been destroyed and demoralized to the point where it looks like it is, you know, the police of the world, the oppressors of the world. And if it's not, right. It has that appearance.
But we also have to do our duty as Christians to bring in people, to bring in the remnant, I don't want to say corral the remnant, but to lead the remnant, to get them to coalesce into one, not into one necessarily, but into a cohesive group. So it's not just Americans, it's Bible-believing Christians here, but America wants... See the Judeo-Christian aspect of the foundation of America, and people will refute this. This country was founded upon Judeo-Christian principles, and I really truly believe that we have to look at that and say, okay, we have to salvage as much of that as possible. We cannot say, well, you know, let's just give up on America. Of course, I don't think...
Why?
Why? We mean why?
I mean, when I say, I mean, we need to realign ourselves with God's plan. If America restoration is in God's plan, then okay.
All right. Well, what we can do is we can restore the remnant on the continent of North America within the borders of the United States and call it America. And then we have got, then we're doing the job. I mean, is that not the way to do it?
Well, as things play out, as things continue to move forward, I know that we are in a different period, a different mindset, not only of government, not only of the people behind the government, the shadow government, but the people in this country. I mean, we have abortions, we have gay marriage, we have all these abominations in God's eyes that are law. They've changed the laws to make it so Americans who want to work or own a business and do what they have to do to survive would have to break some of their own values and value systems in order to be a part of it.
Okay.
And then a country that does that is a country I don't ever want to be a part of.
Right. And folks, look, I know you guys have discussions just like this, and these are the reasons why we have discussions on air like this. But let me tell you something, okay? This country, the United States of America, is the speed bump to the New World Order. It is the firewall. So far, it has been the firewall against the New World Order, against this demonic Luciferian type of takeover. And if we lose this, if we just throw our hands up and say, "Well, you know what? I'm not going to be a part of a country that does this." No, it's our duty to change the country. It's our duty to do what we can to get to change that. I'm not going to throw up my hands and say enough.
People. Yeah, we should reach and be doing what we can to reach as many people as possible to help lead them to the Lord so they can go through their own personal change, their own personal moral journey, and figure out the purpose for their life.
Well, exactly. But we're not going to do this in Beijing, China. We're not going to do this...
Well, we're here.
...in Ukraine.
But, I mean... There does come a point in time where you have to cut your losses and understand that things have changed to the point where this is America in name only. What part of drone strikes on multiple countries killing multiple people in an average week is American without trial or due process? What part of oppressing your own people to the point of not letting them have gardens or choose their own what they want to eat, what kind of ingredients they want in their food? What is American about telling how much water can be in their toilets? What is American about telling people that they have to put smart meters on their house or be surveilled with warrantless wiretap tapping and email reading and, you know, this humongous surveillance state that we live in.
There's not one thing American about that.
About, you know, vaccines being forced on you, about FEMA and the government collaborating to put people in internment and resettlement camps. What is American about the militarization of the police state as they continue to, you know, blur the line between the military and the police to the point where we are going to be overrun by troops that we might not even know that they're ours or if they're, you know, Russian, because they'll all be wearing one color helmet, a blue one.
Well, okay, ladies and gentlemen, listening to this, have you had discussions like this in your family? I'll bet you have. I'll bet you have, and especially with the younger generation as well. And when I say younger generation, I'm not talking about teenagers. I'm talking about, you know, the young people in their 30s, 20s, 30s, and 40s. You see, what America stands for and has stood for is freedom. We have to get that back. We have to work toward getting that back. We have to go back to the traditions, the Judeo-Christian principles, and it's going to be a fight to get them back. I think of, you know, the statement that who said it? Lawrence O'Donnell or Chris Matthews? One of the two said something. Or maybe it was a comedian or Colbert. I don't know. Said, well, gee, I didn't know our country was missing, or where did it go? What happened to it? Well, this is what happened to it. Everything you described is what happened to it. We allowed that as Americans to happen, but no more, not in our name, not as Christians and not as Americans. And I think both can work and do work together. It's a force majeure. If you're an American and a Christian, to me, that's a force majeure. You are actually, to me, that's the best combination in the world. But not
that
our name.
Is the problem. There is nothing special about America anymore. It is as ruthless as Babylon was when it was the leader of the world political system thousands of years ago.
Okay, well, then what we should do is just unplug everything and take our balls and bats and go home. Right?
If you listen closely, I said the last thing we need to do is lie down and give up. We need to get people to the Lord, and that is what we're called to do. That is our purpose in life, as the Bible states it. We are
to align ourselves
with the will of God. And why would you bring people back together under the name of America when people won't even come? I mean, how could you even do that when they won't even come together under the Lord, when they won't even unite for that purpose?
And therein lies the nugget that I was going for. You've got to get your spiritual house in order, understand what America stands for, once stood for. You've got to understand, and you can bring up folks, and I know that there are issues about slavery, and there's issues about, my goodness, a thousand things. But if you look back in history, and even today, you can still say that America is the firewall against the New World Order. So what we have to do is both combine the spiritual aspect of things, our love, our duties as Christians, as well as the national pride that we have, the nation, the pride of our nation, of what it should be, could be, was. Get that back as well, and have a fight on multiple fronts. Or when I say fight, I mean a struggle, or to gain that back on multiple fronts. So we can once again be proud of our country. We can once again identify with our country as being a beacon of the Judeo-Christian principles, which we once were. This is what I believe. Now, otherwise, and how many Americans today are taking today off and putting things on the barbecue and not understanding really what today is all about? The majority of people, I believe, except when you get older, if you're an older person listening to this, you know what it's about. You know it's about the veterans. You know it's about the people who have died in service to their country. You know it's about the tradition that's associated with Memorial Day. So I guess the bottom line is this. We can do both, and we're trying to do both all at once, at the same time, I should say. And that's what I'm saying. You don't have to hide under the false premise of freedom and security of the American flag as it is today. You don't have to do that. We can fight to change that, and it's our duty to do so. But we have to do so having first making sure that our spiritual house is in order, and that our first priority is to our God and our family and our personal relationships at home and with our God. And then, of course, we can continue on with our country. That this to me is, especially today, Memorial Day. My father served in World War I. My grandfather World War II. My grandfather served in World War I. And I've got members of my family that served in wars prior to that on behalf of the United States of America. I owe that to them. I owe, because I was never in the military, I owe whatever I can do to fix our country to them. I owe it to them. That's what I believe.
Well, as I said before, I only think the people of this country are the only thing that are appropriate. And the reason that we opened with that story about the idol worship, having American Idol parade and the city spend over $30,000 on it and canceling the Memorial Day parade, I mean, we have commandments. An idolater is related to being covetous also. And these are things that are in the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not covet is the last of the Ten Commandments. And where the first two are against idolatry. And this is, you know, in God's worshiping things, tangible things, or untangible things, like gods of money or gods of material things. But Jesus said you can't serve two masters.
But look, if you have, for example, a flag flying in front of your house, if you have a flag in the courtroom, and if you put your hand over your heart and you say the Pledge of Allegiance, you recite the Pledge of Allegiance, do not even tell me that's idolatry. Do not even tell me that's covetousness. That is
respect. That depends on you and how you are as a person inside. It depends on how you view individually, each and every one of you view the country and the flag. If you are fighting harder to restore the country than you are fighting to get people to saved and get into the Lord, then yes, it's idolatry. If you are fighting to cause problems in this country, and it is good to cause problems when you are calling out evil that is being done, but it is all about your personal perception. And if you hold a country, whether it's America or North Korea, higher than you hold your Lord, you're in a danger zone.
Right, and Steve Quill and I talked about that today. You know, he said he's going to be talking, you know, he says, boy, I'm pretty much done trying to convince people about the political aspects of things, and he's working toward bringing people toward the spiritual side of things. And I understand that, but you know, you're not idolizing a flag, you're not idolizing a country, you're not coveting if you live in we'll say Canada, you're not necessarily coveting the United States, you're coveting an ideology. Or not? No, I shouldn't say coveting. You're seeking an ideology. You're seeking that freedom, that God-given freedom, that is delineated in our Constitution and Bill of Rights, and that's what it's all about, to me. And once again, I would be hard. I think anyone would be hard pressed to find someone actually idolizing a flag or idolizing, you know, a country by definition.
Doesn't it seem like people are idolizing the country? Most people? I'm not talking about people in our audience. I'm talking about the people who are...
It's a way of life. No. The ability, our ability to practice our religion.
I guess my point is, what good is trying to restore something that God has already promised to tear down? We need to be focused on His kingdom. We need to be focused on our place in His kingdom. And most importantly, if we are doing what
we need to
He
repent.
Needs us to do in these times.
Right. We need to repent.
I mean, we know America's going to be gone and destroyed. We know the world is going to be destroyed.
Do we know that for sure? Do we know that America's going to be gone and destroyed?
Yes. The world is destroyed, and a new heaven and earth are going to replace it. And this is after
happen. Yeah, okay. I see what you're talking about there. You're talking about in the larger sense. But what I'm saying to you is, while we're here, while we are alive, while we are still be able to suck air and take nourishment, I believe we can do both. Again, you know, we have this conversation quite a bit. You don't have, this is not mutually exclusive, fighting, you know, or working with on your spirituality and the ideology that was once represented by the United States of America. That's all I'm saying. I'm saying we have to stop. We have to clean house. We've got to get the people who are in charge, who are raping and pillaging and plundering this nation, and redefining marriage instead of reinforcing it, and killing babies, and sending out drones willy-nilly, which will, by the way, come here. I do believe that. We will see a drone strike here in this country. We have to get them out. We have to work toward getting them out, because anything less would be totally irresponsible. And it's not a Democrat versus Republican solution. It is a spiritual solution in which we have to really have our feet well grounded in. That's my belief.
And one job we do have here in this country is to rebuke the compromising, conforming spirit of the satanic government, the work of darkness, openly, to rebuke this so others know that they may, you know, learn too. And that is a pivotal point. And that rebuking the evil that is being carried upon, but it's not just this nation. And I'm not saying we should be globalists, but so many people are focused on this nation. Well, what about what happens to Canada if America goes? I mean, do we know? We don't know. Most of the Canadian population does live close to the American border, though. Are they going to see the same kind of martial law and fallout we will? I would bet they would. So it's beyond a country. It's beyond a political movement. It is beyond a system of government. I understand the being thankful for
right.
the people who the reason we still have freedom today.
Exactly, and we can spend a long time going through this, but I think, folks, you get the point that there is, you know, when we talk about the Civil War. From a historical vantage point, brother against brother, you know, son against father, and so on. Can you see how, just from our discussion just now, over the last 30 minutes or so, can you see how this can redevelop? I believe you can. I believe that what we've just shown you, and we both believe very strongly in our own opinions, but I think you can see how this could evolve or devolve into that situation.
Yeah, and let
in
me
a
take,
civil war type scenario.
Let me hit this part of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 8. But beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as a thousand years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with a fervent heat, and the earth shall also, and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye be in all holy conversation and good godliness, looking for and hastening unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens, being on fire, shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found in him in peace, without spot and blameless. So there is the earth melting.
Right, okay. But again, that's the larger picture. What do we do until that time? We are not to just sit back and play Xbox or whatever. We are to be out there calling the masses, okay? Getting people together.
The way God wants us to.
Right. But we can do that under the banner of our flag. By the way, kind of switching gears a little bit here, published an article today that does appear on HomelandSecurityUS.com and CanadaFreePress.com. You talk about how far, and Joe spoke to this a little bit, about the oppression within our country, that exists within our country. It's called, the title of the article is "You're Out of Order," and it's dated today, May 27th, 2013, and I make reference to the 1979 movie Injustice for All. Folks, I don't know if you remember that movie, if you saw that movie. It's perhaps one of the best movies that display the insanity and corruption within our legal system, and it's relevant today. It's relevant today as it's ever been, and perhaps even more relevant. In fact, I was speaking with, or I was watching yesterday, the as I do every Sunday, I sit with my father-in-law, and we'll watch, for example, these various news programs on Sunday morning. And he was watching, it was Fox News, I believe it was, where where Brit Hume was saying how ridiculous it was to have Holder's Justice Department investigate Holder's Justice Department, which is true. But I just want to bring your attention to this. You might remember that open mic moment. We talked about it on this show, the open mic moment in New Jersey, where the real agenda of the legislators came out. Confiscate, confiscate, confiscate when it came to guns. It's all about gun confiscation. Well, let me just give you some background that I had failed to give you at the time. About 9 days before that open mic moment, there were meetings being held in New Jersey over the gun laws. And by the way, at the present time, there are over 1,300 bills pending at the state level to change firearm laws, the majority of which, by the way, are more oppressive than anything else. But that said, it was on April 30th of this year when a gentleman was permitted, and in these meetings, you're permitted to speak for 2 minutes. Well, this gentleman, James Kalita, took his place at the microphone to speak for 2 minutes. At about the minute 40 mark, he made a reference. By the way, one of the key things here is you are to address the bills, or the bill or bills that are being discussed. You're not to talk about walking your dog in the park and somebody not picking up the dog droppings, okay? You're supposed to stay on topic. Well, he was actually staying on topic, but at about a minute and 40 seconds, you had the state senator, in New Jersey, heading the meeting, cut off his mic. Well, what was the transgression of James Kalita? What did he do? What was so offensive to the body of this judicial body, this legislative body, I should say? What was so offensive? He mentioned the words gun control. You see, when phrases like that come up, that makes the elected officials very nervous. Well, they cut his mic. And when he attempted to talk over the cut mic, he was admonished, treated like a subject, like a slave, like a servant, to stop yelling, quit hollering. Well, what do you do? He still had time left. No, this was all captured on video by Billy Bear and Dan Haggerty, who were there at the meeting, who described the meeting to me, described this whole thing to me. It was as if Gestapo forces, and I'm not using hyperbole here, I'm using exactly the words given to me, and you can see this on the video links that I have up here, again, CanadaFreePress.com and HomelandSecurityUS.com. But dare say the phrase gun control, and you are now off topic, and your microphone gets shut down. Well, he was escorted out of the building by, it almost looks like a Gestapo agent if you look at the still image that's on our website, plus two other ununiformed men. An interesting thing happened after he was removed that was not made clear after this video. As he was being taken out by this uniformed New Jersey State police officer, Donald Norcross, Donald Norcross is a state senator, and I have his contact information or a link to his contact information at the bottom of this story, but something happened. This man was being let out. The gallery of spectators stood up and clapped, and I got emails from people saying, were they clapping because he was cut off and taken out? Folks, there's another video. You've got to see this other video. Because here's what happened. Here, as Paul Harvey used to say, is the rest of the story. And on Memorial Day, it does my heart good to talk about this. You see, the gallery was upset that this Don Norcross, the state senator, had arbitrarily cut off this man's microphone and would not allow him to speak, and then had him whisked away as if he was some criminal when he mentioned gun control and making felons out of law-abiding citizens. Why is this important? The reason this is important is because of what happened afterwards. What happened afterwards, you saw the people stand up and clap. Then, of course, you had these people writing to the YouTube channel saying, what's going on here? Why are they clapping and such? What they're not getting is the anger, the pent-up anger about the way people are being treated in this country, in particular about this topic, because what happened was this. When Donald Norcross admonished the crowd now to sit down and shut up, these are my words, not his, but that's what it came out to. They all, in tandem, stood up and began to recite the Pledge of Allegiance. You didn't see this. You didn't see this on the news clips. You didn't see this on the initial videotape. But that tape is there. It's linked off of our website. And you know, Norcross, during the Pledge of Allegiance, did not have the decorum to stand. Nor did 99% of the panel. There was one woman that stood up during the pledge to show respect. respect for the people who died for the reason that we have today off of work. I guess what I'm saying to you is this. Oh, and one person did say, you could hear it clearly through the din of the crowd. One person did say clearly, you've woken a giant. Think about that for a moment, and think about where we're headed with 1,300 laws right now pending to reform state laws, the state level, to reform our gun laws. Do you think this is what Barack Hussein Obama and his ilk want? Is this divisiveness among men and women in this country? I do believe we're seeing the work being done on a state level that is going to be ripping this country apart. This is part of it, but it's so important. Again, the title of the article is You're Out of Order. I would appreciate, ladies and gentlemen, if you could just share this article with others on Facebook and leave your comments at canadafreepress.com about this. And if you are so inclined, as I was today, certainly leave a message and or send a letter to Mr. Senator Norcross and tell him exactly how you feel about how he is treating our citizens, the citizens of New Jersey, treating them like subjects, not citizens. Because you see, folks, if we don't stop at New Jersey, it's going to be coming to... Pick a state. It's coming to your state as well. And this is part of the divisiveness that we're going to be seeing in this country. This is part of the plan. But I would certainly, and I got to tell you, if you look at the picture of Norcross and if you watch his body language, these people are intimidated when there's any type of people getting up and saying, no, not now. You're not going to do this to me. You will allow me to speak. You could see it in his face. There's fear in his face. I just wanted to point that out to you.
All right. We are coming up against the top of the hour break. A few announcements we have to make. One, Thursday, we will be joined by Nathan Liao for the whole 3 hours as he has new information and a brand new explosive, I don't want to say theory because it's more than a theory. His visions, the last time he was on our show, he talked about dreams he had. Well, he's had further spiritual insight, and it looks like his dreams have come true. Some of his dreams have come true to a point in a very scary way. And folks, when you hear this put together, you will be shocked, especially, I mean, even if nothing else happens between now and then, confirming what he's already put together. So Thursday night, regular time, 8 to 11 Eastern, Nathan Liao with a part two from the last time he was on.
And if you have the ability to, or if you have the time, I would go back and listen to what he said during our last show. I'm not sure what day that was, but it's on our archive page. Listen to that show because it'll provide you with the necessary background information for what he's going to provide you on this Thursday. It's going to be, and I talked to him too, just an astounding. When he pretty much gave me the overview, I was astounded. Yeah. What he said.
Me too. It was just when he explained what had happened versus what he talked about on our show, and he explained what he was further given to understand, and the way it correlated with other events that are happening, it is mind-blowing. And I hope everybody is here to listen. And if not, you can always get the rebroadcast on iTunes or on Blog Talk Radio or on our website, homelandsecurityus.com. But it will be a show you're not going to want to miss. And we have some other guests this week that we will be talking about. A a lady named Pam, she is an author and a nutritionist, is going to be on Friday for 2 hours and has a very interesting inside take on what is going on with Americans and their health, how the big pharma industry is doing all that it can.
I think what you said right there, inside information,
right?
That's the key. People aren't getting
the chemicalization of society, and going back to Aldous Huxley's words, the kind of painless concentration camp for entire societies distracted from any desire to rebel by propaganda or brainwashing, enhanced by pharmacological methods.
I don't think we said her name. Pam Killeen. Pam Killeen is in fact, her website is pamkillen.com. That's P-A-M like Pam, K-I-L-L-E-E-N.com. You can look at her website ahead of time. We'll put up a link on HomelandSecurityUS.com, but the key there is inside information. And if you know of anyone who's got some health issues, if you have health issues yourself, you've got to listen to this woman with respect to how we got here.
Yeah, her new book, The Addiction, The Hidden Epidemic, is what her new book is. So we're going to have her on, and we're going to have Nate on Friday for 2 hours, and we're going to have Nathan Leal on Thursday for the whole show, and we might have a guest or two more pop up in the meantime. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman & Hagman Report this Memorial Day, May 27th, 2013. We'll be right back after these short messages. Stay with us.
Hi, folks. Doug Hagman here. You might know me as the co-host from the Hagman & Hagman Report, or as a frequent guest on Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie. If you're like me, you're tired and confused over today's headlines. You just don't know where to turn for accurate, concise information about really what's going on, what's truly going on in today's society. If you don't know where to turn for accurate, well-researched, and properly vetted news, I've got a suggestion. In fact, it's a requirement. Bookmark Canada Free Press. That's CanadaFreePress.com on the internet. It's just not for Canada. It's for news across the world. Judy McLeod, founding editor, has put together a vast array of talented writers like Kelly O'Connell, Daniel Greenfield, Dr. Ilana Johnson-Powell, a lot of guest columnists, very talented writers. Folks, that's Canada Free Press at CanadaFreePress.com. Now mobile friendly, follow on Facebook, because without America, there is no free world.
If you love pineapple as much as I do, I've got some great news for you. You're going to love this offer from Freeze Dry Guy. For the month of May, Freeze Dry Guy is offering the finest quality freeze-dried pineapple, a case of 6 number 10 cans yielding 114 servings at a special introductory price. First quality freeze-dried pineapple grown and packed with nothing added. This healthy treat works wonders with salad. It's great for snacking, hiking, hunting, camping, and for adding to your food storage program. And please note that Freeze Dry Guy's foods will store on your shelf for decades. Order now and get free shipping to your front door within the lower 48 states. This special introductory price is good until May 31st. For more information and a free complete product list, go to freezedryguy.com or phone 866-404-3663. FreezeDryGuy.com, 866-404-3663.
You better wake up fast and listen to this, America. The Obama campaign has launched attack squads disguised as truth teams dedicated to intimidating and silencing all political dissent carried over the internet that criticizes the Marxist Obama. Truth Squad specifically focused on covering up Obama's endless trail of lies, corruption, and subversion, and using the Gestapo power of our own government to police and censor the internet and shut down websites that dare to carry the real truth about Obama's Marxist coup. Remember the names of these Gestapo-style agencies at work right there in your neighborhood: KeepingHisWord.com, KeepingGOPHonest.com, and AttackWatch.com. KGB, SS, and Gestapo-style police state gangster organizations at work to silence the important voices of patriot dissent, some of which have already been shut down by Obama's orders. Adolf Hitler would have been proud. We're the 21st century Tea Party Patriots.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth. You can't handle the truth.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number two of the Hagman and Hagman Report. We are welcoming those just joining us for the second hour. We do have people, stations, joining us for hour number two and three. Want to welcome you folks to the broadcast this Memorial Day, May 27th, 2013. It's a good day to be alive. It's a good day to be with your family, if that's where you are, or if you're alone. It's still a good day because you're never alone as long as you're tuned into our broadcast. We're in studio today, Joe and I, and we are the Hagman and Hagman Report. Folks, I just want to say this. One of our advertisers is AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. That's AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. Put up an article about them last week. They're linked right off of our front page, AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com. You know, we ask all the time if you've made any preparations or what preparations you've made. If you've got an emergency survival kit, if you've got food, water stored for even for 90 days or regardless, just enough to, you know, a bug out bag to get out. You've got to have some level of preparation, even if you're just starting. The fine folks at AmericanSurvivalWholesale.com will help you with that. And if you go to their website, you can take a look around, look at their products. They've got different numbers of kits. And we had this, I don't know if you'd call it a money bomb or the folks at American Survival Wholesale had given us their gross proceeds, a quarter of the gross proceeds on stun guns, and pledged that to us to help keep us on the air. And I've got to tell you, they want to thank each and every one of you who purchased one. For two reasons. Number one, I really don't let my daughter go anywhere without her stun gun. Not today. Not in today's world. Not today. It's too risky. But I just want to thank everyone who participated in the drive that they came up with to provide us with a percentage of the gross proceeds. I want to thank them so much because they raised... there was enough money, or you folks did actually, by purchasing a product and by them being so generous with their proceeds that really, you know, it went a long way. It's going to go a long way to pay the bills for this month. And I want to thank you, you fine folks at American Survival Wholesale. But don't let the fact that the drive is over, don't let that stop you from going to their website, selecting what you need. Even email them at bugoutamerica@usa.com. If you've got questions, if you've got concerns, hey, I'm alone, or I've got a family of three, whatever your situation might be, tell them, and they will work with you. They'll work within your budget. But don't put off what you should be doing right now, because folks, time is short. And the other thing, our fine folks at GranlandFirearms.com or Granlund Firearms of British Columbia, if you go to HomelandSecurityUS.com, click on the link to Granlund Firearms. If you are in need of any survival, hunting gear, whatever, rifles, that can be shipped to the United States, or Canadian listeners. They've got some very, very good prices of products in demand. go to Grandland Firearms. Go to homelessscurityus.com. Click on the Grandland Firearms logo. Go up there and take a look at what they've got, because I can guarantee you, you're going to see, you will see a shortage coming in the near term where you might not be able to purchase a weapon. You might not be able to purchase a stun gun. It's coming. It's coming to that. So, folks, don't delay. Visit our fine sponsors. Lastly, before I turn it over to Joe for the news, I just want to say we're arranging, and I want to thank a gentleman by the name of Larry Sinclair. You might know him. Larry Sinclair is the embattled author of a book that is called, what did I do? I just had the book right in my hand here. My desk is a mess, folks. You should see my desk. But anyway, he wrote a book. Hang on a second here. I got it. Hold on. Hang loose. Here it is.
Better find it before I start making up titles.
No, he wrote a book called Barack Obama and Larry Sinclair, Cocaine, Sex, Lies, and Murder. Now, I interviewed Mr. Sinclair. I interviewed him, I don't know, maybe a year and a half ago. I was looking through my records to try to find out the exact day. I couldn't find it, but one thing that sticks in my mind, he spoke at the press, National Press Club, and he laid out this scenario about, pardon me, folks, for even getting into this, but having sharing cocaine, sharing drugs with Barack Obama when Obama was an Illinois state senator. And also, and again, pardon me for this, but performing a sex act on Mr. Obama, according to Mr. Sinclair. Now, he wrote about this in his book, Barack Obama and Larry Sinclair, Cocaine, Sex, Lies, and Murder. I read this book twice. I got it in the mail. I looked at it. I said, I remember interviewing this guy. I read the book, went through it really quick the first time, and then I went through it again the second time. But I want to say this, after interviewing him, and like I said, this is a year and a half ago, before he even wrote this book, I just felt that he was the real deal. 30 years as an investigator, raising four teenagers. You know when somebody is, you know, trying to pull the wool over your eyes? This goes to where Obama was on the night of Benghazi, the missing 18 and a half hours, the article that I wrote about. There's something wrong here. And we're going to have Mr. Sinclair come on. We're working that out schedule-wise. He's going to be a guest, not this week, but perhaps next week, to talk about his book, to talk about his experiences with Mr. Obama, and also what he believes happened or was going on the night that Americans were dying in Benghazi. That's my belief. Unless I hear otherwise, I could be a little bit... he's agreed to, just heard about this. He has agreed to come on the show. We're just sorting out a date. It's not going to be this week. But I got to tell you something, okay? Once again, almost 30 years as an investigator, interviewing people, seeing the results of polygraphs, seeing and listening to various stories and the most absolutely crazy stories, and they turn out to be true, or the most basic stories, and they turn out to be false. But this guy, after talking with him and interviewing him and really sitting down and getting to know Mr. Sinclair, I can tell you this. You're not going to leave this radio program in the same way that you started listening to it. It's going to change your mind on a lot of things. But I want to mention that. And don't forget Steve Quayle, Coast to Coast tonight, 3 hours. If you are a night person, definitely catch him on Coast to Coast. I'm going to toss it over to you, Joe.
Yeah, back to some news. We have John McCain slips into the border of Syria, meeting with al-Qaeda rebels. The leader of the Supreme Military Council of the Free Syrian Army told the senator they want the U.S. to provide arms, a no-fly zone, and strikes on Hezbollah. Josh Rogan reports. This is from the Daily Beast, and kind of confusing. Senator John McCain Monday became the highest-ranking U.S. official to enter Syria since the bloody civil war began there more than 2 years ago. McCain, one of the fiercest critics of the Obama administration's Syria policy, made the unannounced visit at the Turkey-Syrian border with the leader of the Supreme Military Council of the Free Syrian Army, a.k.a. Al-Qaeda. Now, my question is to the author of this, what part of Obama helping Al-Qaeda does McCain see as, or how can he be one of the fiercest critics of the Obama administration's Syria policy when they're both pushing the same thing? Anyway, back to the article.
But before you go back to the article, just everyone's got to understand this. We're looking for the better of the two bad guys. We are making a deal with the devil.
Yeah, to say the least. The article goes on to say he stayed in the country for several hours before returning to Turkey. Both in Syria and Turkey, McCain and Idris met with assembled leaders of the Free Syrian Army units that traveled from around the country to see the U.S. senator. Inside those meetings, rebel leaders called upon the United States to step up its support to the Syrian armed opposition and provide them with heavy weapons, a no-fly zone, airstrikes on the Syrian regime, and the forces of Hezbollah, which are increasingly active in Syria. Switching gears to Hezbollah, Hezbollah takes Syria risk at Iran's behest. Lebanon's Hezbollah has hurled itself into the war in Syria at the behest of its mentor, Iran, at the risk of damaging its reputation in the Arab world, experts say. The powerful Shiite movement has won widespread support outside of Lebanon for standing up to Israel on the battlefield, but its involvement in Syria fighting alongside al-Assad's troops against rebels has tarnished its reputation in the region. Hezbollah's participation in the war in Syria stems from an Iranian decision to support the regime until the end, through regional actors, starting with Hezbollah. It goes on to say, Syria is the rear guard of the resistance, Hezbollah's fight with Israel, its backbone, and the resistance cannot stay with its arms folded when it is near guard, when its rear guard is exposed. He says, this person says we are idiots if we do not act. He was Hassan Nasrallah, the chief Nasan. Anyway.
Well, here's what I think everyone needs to know. You've got McCain, as you mentioned, the leading critic of Obama's administration policy towards Syria.
But that's not true.
Well,
McCain criticized the Obama administration Syria policy in an interview on Monday.
Right.
It says the visit of Senator McCain to Syria is very important and very useful, especially at this time. He said we need Americans to help change on the ground. We are now in a very critical situation.
It's semantics. It's methodology is what his criticisms are. But look, here is all you need to know. There are over 80,000 dead in Syria. 80,000. And there will be and a million refugees created by our policies that stem from the Middle East, stem from the Arab Spring, that stem from Libya. Our policies helped create this mess. And you see what's happening here is now the globalists are becoming more evident, more apparent, more transparent. Now we're able to see McCain, the globalist, Lindsey Graham, the globalist.
And I have news on him.
The globalist. Go ahead.
Neoconservative Republicans knock Obama's shift in war on terror. A number of neoconservative Republicans spent part of the Memorial Day weekend roundly criticizing the plan announced by Obama to limit the scope, eventually end the war on terror that was declared by George Bush in the 9/11 attacks. This, another confusing headline, as I'm going to play this for you.
This is a pretty informative piece
war
of...
must go on, yeah.
Yeah, fight, this is pretty informative.
Fight with terror lasts forever.
The US enjoys a vast military presence worldwide, and recently President Obama unveiled a new face to the war on terror, defending America's overseas policies. But there are more questions about the legal basis for this military activity when the US is fighting wars under the cover of military threats. Artis Gianichkian has this report.
President Obama, in his major national security speech this May, quoted James Madison saying, "No nation could preserve its freedom in the midst of continual warfare." At the very same time, the administration claims power to wage endless war across the globe. There was a Senate hearing this May revisiting the authorization for use of military force, which Congress enacted days after 9/11 attacks in 2001. At the hearing, Pentagon officials claimed that authorization gives the president power to wage endless war anywhere in the world, including Syria, Yemen, and the Congo. And when asked how long they predict this war on terror is going to last, they said, quote, from 10 to 20 years. And one way of understanding this is you say 10 to 20 years when you see no end in sight. Here's a clip from that hearing.
Do you agree with me that when it comes to international terrorism, we're talking about a worldwide struggle?
Absolutely, sir.
Would you agree with me? The battlefield is wherever the enemy chooses to make it?
Yes, sir. From Boston to the Fatah.
I couldn't agree with you more. Do you agree with that, General?
Yes, sir. I agree that the enemy decides where the battlefield is.
So by the administration's definition, the world is a battlefield. With me today is Brian Becker with the Answer Coalition. Brian, thanks for joining me. Brian, you have President Obama saying in his national security speech that the U.S. is not engaged in a boundless war, and yet you have this vast military presence across the globe. Washington Post cited a senior administration official who said U.S. Special Operations Forces were active in 75 countries. To that, you add the drone strikes and new drone bases. Does it look like the U.S. is really seeking to limit itself in the use of military force?
No, in fact, the policy and the institutional policy is for the United States to not only be prepared for endless war, but to be engaged in all of the activities that would lead one to believe that they are in endless war. There's 1.3 million U.S. military personnel, 300,000 to 400,000 of them are overseas. There's 900 military bases. The United States spends not $525 billion, which is the Defense Department budget, but really about $1 trillion on warfare. That's greater than the next 16 nations combined. We see an integrated network of bases, now drone bases growing increasingly. This is to have a full spectrum domination using the military as the club.
The administration argues that all their military actions in the countries that the U.S. is not at war with are perfectly legal under the U.S. Congress's authorization for use of military force. That's their legal justification for continuing all these attacks. What about international law?
Well, international law has been shredded by the so-called global war on terrorism, or the authorization bill that allows the U.S. to invade any country, bomb any country, kill whoever it wants. The U.N. Charter is quite clear. The United States, like all other member nations of the United Nations, can only go to war, engage in military activity, as an act of imminent self-defense. In other words, the defense from an imminent threat. But in fact, the United States, by arrogating to itself the right to war anywhere against anyone all the time, is clearly in violation of international law.
Well, President Obama says the administration does not violate anybody's sovereignty because it operates in consultation with the governments concerned. The whole population of Pakistan, their parliament, unanimously, vehemently opposed drone strikes, and yet they continue. So maybe the administration is in consultation with the government there, but certainly not the people. I'm Ganesh Chakyan. With me today was Brian Becker with the Answer Coalition. From our studio in Washington, thanks for watching.
Now,
I hope you got that.
Nothing in Obama's speech said that he wanted or was going to end the war. What he did say was that he didn't say the war on terror was over, but he said it must end at some yet undefined point.
Well, I can almost tell you that the point at which this war on terror will end, and it's not going to be anytime soon. I mean, you can say that, but I think the importance of this audio, number one, it does reinforce my contention that are we going to see drone strikes here in the United States? Yes, we are going to see drone strikes here.
It came out that four Americans have been killed by drone strikes already, for American citizens. And here Lindsey Graham goes on to say, our enemies are boldened all over the planet. Al-Qaeda is in Iraq and coming back with a vengeance, Graham said. Syria is falling apart, and we're talking about helping the rebels out, but doing nothing about it. Well, Lindsey Graham, Al-Qaeda are the rebels.
Yeah, exactly. You've got Ansar al-Sharia. And Syria, by the way, folks, please don't underestimate what's going on in Syria, because as we always have said, Syria is where World War III is going to start. That's the start.
Yeah, and this is what really makes me mad, and I'm just so sick and tired of, and I know it's important to watch what's happening in Syria, but I don't want to listen to these brain-dead politicians anymore. I don't want to, I mean, frankly, I don't care. They are doing what they say they want to kill other people that they suspect they're doing. Okay, how come John McCain didn't get drone striked? He was over there helping Al-Qaeda. Right? He said in his own, if he took his own words
yeah, of
and used
course.
Him against himself, he would be a person, a target for a drone strike.
That's the good Al-Qaeda, of course. That's the good Al-Qaeda, not the bad Al-Qaeda. That's the Al-Qaeda that's toppling Assad so we can enforce this global governance, ultimately. That's what's taking place here.
Right, and it's just so screwed up. I'm just...
It's frustrating.
By the lack of care, lack of concern for anything, even the basic fundamental issues in our foreign policy that, I mean, nobody's asking questions. Nobody is looking for answers. People are content with what they're told, and that's that. They have no rhyme or reason, no purpose or guidance. They are just empty vessels of useless information following a system of traps and snares designed to be that way, designed for them to get caught into.
But you
they don't notice it, and they can't even get themselves out of it, even when they're told how to do it.
You can't. We've got people that they can't find Benghazi on the map, can't find Libya on the map, can't find Syria on the map, can't find Israel on the map, can't even find the United States on the map, for crying out loud. You've got this dumbing down of people. You've got this dumbing down of even the intellectuals or people who believe. If you limit yourself, and I run into people like this, especially the people in the above 60 crowd who limit themselves to television news and what they read in the newspaper, and they believe, for example, that we are doing good work by going in there and toppling Assad. We are doing good work by advancing the Arab Spring into Syria, when in fact what we are doing is hastening ourselves right to the door of World War III, because it's not going to be 80,000, it's not going to be a million refugees, it's going to be 10 times that amount.
Most importantly, what they are doing is setting up an alliance against Israel with all these countries that are in the process of regime change. It is deliberate. It happened under Obama, and it was part of the objectives from the beginning of his presidency. And he or the people who are in control have taken care of this objective and implemented it right in our faces. And we are now giving our tax dollars by the billions to Al-Qaeda, and Americans are clapping at the flag.
Well, of course.
This is that bad.
But... But when you say clapping at the flag, I can sense your disdain at that. I understand that. However, we cannot blame the American flag. We have to blame the people behind this. America is an ideology, and there have been people who have perverted this ideology. But real quick, okay, what's the backbone, or what's the background that's causing a lot of not only our foreign policy, but our domestic policy? What's guiding the Department of Homeland Security? What's guiding the military?
And there's a good point in the chat room here. Billions of earned tax dollars going to murder as well. Infrastructure like bridges, roads, are literally falling apart.
But okay, well, why?
Dropping.
but why?
With a 9.5 in Portland,
right
up there fell.
Well, it was in
the bridge.
In Washington.
Okay, in Washington, we had also a second bridge collapse Sunday or Saturday.
It's crazy how our infrastructure is falling apart. Meanwhile,
we have starving children in this country, but we're going to give missile launchers to Al-Qaeda with tax
dollars. But why? Because Obama has opened the door to people like Arif Elakhan, Mohammed Elaberry, Rashad Hussein, Salam al-Maradi, and Imam Majid, Ibo Patel. These are all Muslim Brotherhood infiltrates into the Obama administration. I just named off six American Islamic activists who work with the Obama administration, the Obama regime. They're Muslim Brotherhood operatives who enjoy strong influence over U.S. policy, both domestic and foreign. Do you think they really give a hoot about us? No, of course not.
And we watched a good YouTube video was posted on my Facebook page, and I shared it, and I know you watched it, and I reposted it on there. And it was Jonathan Click, I think it was, One World Freedom Tower Exposed.
Yeah, and this is something, and when I look now at the One World Freedom Tower, as it's called, what I see is not what you might see. What I look at it is a symbol for one world governance. I see that, there are websites out there saying we don't want a mosque at Ground Zero. We have a mosque at Ground Zero in the form of that Freedom Tower.
Yep.
Okay, if you look at what was built, and you look at the minaret, if you look at the spires, if you look at what is atop of the highest building in the Western Hemisphere, look at what's taking place. They're laughing at all of us because, you know why? Because no one is paying attention to what is going on. You've got Obama writing on an 11-ton beam, I believe it is, "We will overcome, we will rebuild, we will come back stronger," or whatever.
Yeah, connected to the Harbinger.
Exactly.
Think that says AN-9.
Yes. You've got these warning signs, these red lights going off everywhere. And, you've got this Obama who is not a president, not a Muslim, that is, of course, wearing a ring. And I was a little bit jaded about this at first. I was thinking, wait a minute, I'm not sure about this, but the signing ceremony of the I-beam that went up to complete the One World of Freedom Tower, if you look at the script on that, it certainly appears to be Arabic, and it certainly appears to be Muslim. And I would have to agree at this point with Jerome Corsi that this man, this Barack Hussein Obama, is advancing the Islamic agenda both domestically and foreign in the White House, and he is nothing but a shill for the Muslim Brotherhood every single day, yet they're laughing at you. You bring this up, you become marginalized, you become a bigot, you become a racist, you become an Islamophobe, you become the target of the Council on American Islamic Relations. If you don't like it because you've got Arif Elakhan or Mohammed Elaberry in our government setting our policy, you're nothing but an Islamophobe, you're target for litigation, you're target for being shut up, because they don't want you to tell others what's going on. Folks, you've got to understand what's going on. We are a captured operation from within. We are advancing through the Arab Spring, advancing the Saudi Arabian agenda, which will lead to the globalist agenda. Folks, you've got to understand this, and please understand this now, because we are in a dangerous situation. We've got the terrorists running the military-industrial complex. You've got these globalists running this military-industrial complex. We must realize this for what it is. So yes, in fact, it's we should have it as the movie of the week. Those people back in the 70s didn't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, and it led me to a verse in scripture that the video opens up with that I must have, you know, I've read Isaiah before, but I must have missed this. In Isaiah 29:15, it's very, it lines up with what we see going on today with these secret Bilderberg people, these secret Council on Foreign Relations people setting policy and saying basically you're a kook if you think that this is what we're doing. In 29:15 it says, "Woe unto them that seek deep to hide their counsel from the Lord, and their words are in the dark, and they say, who seeth us and who knoweth us?" Like these people are invisible. "Surely your turning of things upside down shall be esteemed as the potter's clay. For shall the work say of him that made it, he made me not? Or shall the thing framed say of him that framed it, he had no understanding?" It talks about, and that sums up how they do meet in secret, how they do hide their plans from the Lord.
Right. Now, you're talking about Isaiah chapter 29
verse 15 to 16.
And also, folks, if you have a pen and paper, if not, you can go back to this, but Isaiah chapter 9, verse 9, Isaiah chapter 10, verse 13. You also have Isaiah 29:15. You've got Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. You've got Luke chapter 4, verses 5 and 6. You've got Revelations chapter 13, verse 7 and 8. All of these scriptures apply to what we're seeing today. And if you don't think that what we're seeing today is divinely, well, is being orchestrated, let me put it that way, then I don't know what to tell you. Because there is absolutely no way that this is coincidental. And don't forget, the Luciferians, the people in power, they like to mock what is good. They like to mock God. They like to take what we follow in the King James Version of the Bible and pervert it. But they're following it, but they're perverting it right before our very eyes. If you think for one moment that we've got this one freedom tower, that we are victorious, that we have rebuilt stronger. No, we're inviting the wrath of God. We're inviting the devil right into our doorstep. The people who have spoken, and if you are familiar with the Harbinger, become familiar with the Harbinger. Become familiar with the various things in there. Folks, look, we are in serious, serious trouble.
Yeah, we are. And the Harbinger would be a part one to that One World Freedom Tower, to understand the significance of that. It is, the way they describe it, Satan's temple, really.
You've got upside-down triangles, you've got triangles, you've got Illuminati symbology.
You have a Muslim,
minarets,
shocked me was spires. You look up Islam spire on Google and go to images. You'll see images of the One World Trade Center right at the very top.
But it's called One World, isn't it? One World Freedom Tower or something
like that, yes.
One world,
one mind, one new world religion, one new world order, one way of conforming, one way of seeing things, one way of doing things. These aren't the ways of the Lord either.
Not at all. And there's a lot, when we look at this, there are a lot of these architects of the demonic have set up, have really established, relished in numerology, in duality, in spiritual duality, I've tried to explain before.
And I don't know if the maker of that movie, Jonathan Kleck, does interviews or not, but it would be really something to get him on the show to explain in his words, aside from the video. Anything additional, explain what he laid out in the video and his thoughts beyond that, because what he said was very important. Pastor Manning did a video yesterday. I sent it to you. I don't know if you watched it. Didn't want to upload it.
I haven't had a chance, no. But Pastor
it goes
Manning
along
is,
with
is,
what he says, and it goes along with what one of your contacts says. And this was before the movie through this video came out. It goes along with what Steve Quayle says.
Meaning concerning
with
what?
With the human DNA, with the New Age, the time of the New Age culminating in 2013. This is why people felt this shift in the intensity and something was wrong after the election, and especially at the beginning of the year and during the Super Bowl. Nathan Leal talking about portals opening from the Olympics to the Super Bowl. Those are real. That wasn't just some fairy tale he made up. Portals are opening. Things are changing. There are things in the sky today that were not there last year. And I'm not talking about UFOs or satellites or spaceships.
Well, people laugh and they say, my gosh, okay, for investigators, you guys are really, and I've gotten emails like this, you guys are really off your nut for even thinking in terms like this.
Go look at the sky.
Look at, better yet, didn't everyone see this? Really odd. What was that? It was like a spiral, that Norway spiral when Obama was over there. What was that about? Was that just a freak of nature?
Well, do you know,
what was that about? Folks, do you remember that?
And I don't know if you're going there with this, but on this one PDF, this was a New Age thing I was looking into. And they had the symbol for DNA as a spiral, which didn't make sense to me. It wasn't the two parallel vertical lines with the twist.
Well, they're
double helix.
They're double
this
helix.
Was the spiral. It said DNA, and it had the spiral underneath it. And I don't know if it was related. It was a chart. It looked like a circular calendar, and it was very weird. I'll have to find the graphic and show you. But was it a sign of what was coming with the peace? I mean, was the peace process for Obama part of what he had to accomplish as a world leader under Satan's plan?
And that brings me to something that was discussed. And folks, would it surprise you that in certain hushed tones, in certain circles, in certain high-level areas about people outliving their usefulness and applying this to people in power? Okay, think about this for a moment. Think about just yourself, for example. You're hired to do a job, and that job, you do the job. I don't know, maybe you're a contractor. You're hired to build a house or build a warehouse or whatever, and you finish the job, is the owner of the property going to keep you around after that job has been completed, after your services are no longer required? I don't think so. I want you, every listener, to think about this in bigger terms. In terms of our power structure currently in the United States, because there are people talking in hushed tones about this. And, make of it what you will. But I just want to let you know that there are things being discussed like this. I have to say, too, that you had mentioned about portals and what have you. It's amazing what research Steve Quayle has done with Native American tales of stargates. People might think, well, all this is just nonsense. No, it's not. No, it's the only thing I can compare it to. Remember when, at least when I was a young child, and I remember a friend of mine brought a Ouija board home or to my house, and my mother just absolutely refusing to allow that in my home. And I didn't understand why. But I truly believe that we're dealing with things here that we really don't want to be dealing with. I mean, you're inviting things into to the innocence and perverting that innocence. And say what you will. Call it, you know, superstition, or call it just mumbo jumbo, or whatever you want to, however you want to describe it. But it does have a basis in biblical and historical fact, things like we're talking about. So I just wanted to mention that.
All right, we're going to move along. The United Kingdom moves to gag radical preachers, clamp down on internet extremism. The United Kingdom Prime Minister has announced an anti-terror task force to clamp down on the poisonous narratives of radical preachers who target recruits in schools, jails, and mosques. However, some fear the government's efforts could actually worsen extremism. This stemming from the murder of Lee Rigby, the 25-year-old drummer in the British Army. Rigby was beheaded in southeast London's Woolwich neighborhood by two men who said the murder was motivated by the UK's involvement in the Afghan and Iraq wars. The Tackling Extremism and Radicalization Task Force, TERFOR, the acronym, will be composed of key cabinet ministers, including Deputy Prime Minister Nick Clegg, Home Security, or in the U.S., Homeland Security, this is the UK's version, Home Security, Theresa May, and Chancellor George Osborne, as well as Metropolitan Police Commissioner Sir Bernard Hogan and Director General of Security Services Andrew Parker. They go on to say, TERFOR will study a number of young people who have become radicalized, like Risby's murderers, the newspaper reported. The source stressed that there is no question of restricting freedom of speech. This is about preventing people from spreading the message of extremism and radicalization in a totally irresponsible and reckless way. Now, I agree that many people do this, but if people on the radio called for somebody to go do something and the people go do it, whose fault is that? Because we have
exactly
as people, because somebody says something doesn't mean we do it. And I understand this is focused at the Muslim communities or the Muslim factions, as the article says it is, but in reality, this is what we're going to see in the U.S.
Yeah, it's not about Rigby. For example, the Muslim Council of Britain, they decried Rigby's murder in a statement on their website saying that after Woolwich, we understand the Prime Minister needs an effective strategy in the face of such a horrific instance of extremism. But see, here is the slope, all right? Here is the hinge point, the moment. What they will do is, when I say they, I'm talking about the very people who are legislating the, in the case of America, our First Amendment rights, our rights of religious freedom. They are now redefining extremism to say, well, if you believe in resurrection, if you believe in Jesus Christ, as someone who was crucified, died, was buried, rose to heaven, then you, my friend, are an extremist. And the real targets here are not the Muslims. Understand this. The real targets are not the Muslims, but the Christians. And the Jews are among the targets. These are the people. And the Muslim Council of Britain, for example, they know this. They know how the game, they know how to play the game. They know how to work these words. And this rubs off on the Council on American Islamic Relations, who always say, oh, we can't have this, we must all get along. And certainly you can't, you mustn't paint with a broad brush Islam as extreme, as an extremist religion. Meanwhile, behind the scenes, as I mentioned, the six in power already in this country, they're formulating as we speak the very plans to stifle Christianity, to stifle any type of worship of a one true God. And they are attempting to say, they are attempting to force fit, as Bush 1 or Bush 2 did, George W. Bush did. They're attempting to say that Islam and Christians worship the same God. We do not, folks. We don't worship the same God. You talk about deception at the highest levels. If you go out and do a man-on-the-street interview, and if you ask the average person if the God of Islam is the same God as Christianity, 99 out of 100 times you're going to get yes. Why? Because it's drilled into our heads by people like George Bush and Rick Warren and Grover Norquist and the six people that are making the rules and regulations for domestic and foreign policy. It's the reason why they're taking out all references to Islam. Understand the level of deception that's taking place right in front. And these are when we refer to Luciferians, we're talking about these people. When we refer to the Illuminati, the people, the power behind the faces, these are the people who we are referring to, the globalists. And what's the end result? It's going to be a one world religion. We all worship the same God, and it's not going to be the God of the Bible.
No, and that's exactly right. And in other news, the EU agrees to lift arms embargo on Syrian rebels. Britain Foreign Secretary William Hague says the European Union has agreed to lift its arms embargo on the Syrian opposition. However, there will be no immediate arms supplies. And also, Argentina and Chile order evacuation of Copachu volcano. There is a volcano about 3,000 meters, about 10,000 feet volcano, which sits in the Andes caldera, has so far only spewed gases. Thousands of minor earth tremors have been registered in the area. Red alert has been issued after monitoring the activity of the volcano and seeing that it has increased in seismic activity. Another earth changes that we've been talking about. There is a risk that it can start erupting.
See, we might not be able, folks. Look, you might sit back and chuckle because we slur and slurp and get these names all screwed up and you don't know what we're talking about. But I'll tell you something, okay? We'll just point. How's that? We'll just point. Look over there. See that smoke rising? It ain't good, okay?
Yep.
And this is what's taking place, because right now what we've got is an increase in volcanic activity and earthquake activity and so on and so forth. Now, we do have our good friend Michael on hold here. I think what we'll do is we're going to take him and hold him on. We're going to visit with this gentleman here, get some information from him. He's a regular caller, but a caller with some information. Let's see what he's got to say, Joe. What do you think about that? Let's see what he's got to say. Let's visit with him on this Memorial Day 2013. Let's visit with him. Let's see what he's got to say. And if necessary, let's hold him over the break, and we'll continue our conversation. Always an interesting conversation with this gentleman. Joe, it's up to you.
Yeah, with us we have Michael. Michael, you are live on the air on the Hagman and Hagman Report this Memorial Day.
Hey, guys, how you doing this Memorial Day?
Fantastic.
Very good.
How about yourself?
Joe, I happen to catch your conversation about, the strange topic of things in the sky.
Yes.
Yeah, I thought that was quite timely. I'll throw that in later. But Doug was on to something there. Something that people probably need to know is the foundational aspects of these globalists, the people called globalists. For one, they're in the Garden of Eden. And Doug could confirm this. They really do think that Adam and Eve were held by an evil God, And Lucifer gave them knowledge, creativity, emotion, inspiration, things of that nature to overcome the garden.
Okay, folks, Michael, let me just say this. Ladies and gentlemen, listen to this. This is important foundational documentation that sets the stage for our current belief system and misbelief and disbelief and erroneous beliefs. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I think it's important that people know this.
Yeah, they should. They really should, because these, you have your Illuminati, Mason, and several other groups. They all believe that Satan freed them from the garden, empowered them to overcome the God of Abraham in the garden. This is what they believe. Now, their quest from their inception is to become gods themselves. How are they going to do this? By taking captive the entire world and forming it as they see fit, and to ultimately make themselves immortal, to live forever. Now, here's a tidbit. They have a promise that they will, in fact, be rulers of this world. Now, some of them absolutely believe that, but they'll hit on a very, this point should hammer home, once their usefulness is used up, they get risen. But the rest of them still ultimately go for that goal of being gods here on earth. So number one, they're against our God, and they follow after Lucifer. And they follow more faithfully after Lucifer, I hate to say this, than most Christians follow after the God of Abraham. They really do.
You got that right.
Yeah. They really do. They absolutely believe in it. The truth be told, they've had encounters with Lucifer, who, by the way, has a very specific name, but they have encounters with this deity who has promised them eternal life here on earth as a immortal, someone who won't die. Another tidbit to actually put in there is the formation of these things actually to root. I believe it was a long time ago. Let's just say, for the sake of things, in the 40s, it really grabbed hold. Now, mind you, this is thousands of years old. These groups are thousands of years old. But they want to do away with any Jewish roots, which includes Christianity. It will not, they state, it will not enter the New Age. Now, an age lasts for 2,000 years. Here's something people, they may correlate with it, but an age lasts for 2,000 years. The calendars are reset at the birth of Christ, right? Which brings us to 2013.
Wait a second, okay, because I think this is an important point. Okay, I really think this is an extremely important point. We're dealing with the Babylonian calendar. We're dealing with the Gregorian calendar, okay?
Uh-huh.
So the Babylonian calendar is, I believe, what, 12 years behind the Gregorian calendar, which we currently use. So really, for the Illuminists, for the people who believe in the Luciferian mindset, it is 2000... it's actually the turn of the century going into 2001 right now, and that occurred on April 1st based on the Babylonian calendar. So we're dealing with two different calendars here that people have to be aware of.
That's right. And like you said, the Babylonian calendar will give it to 2001, but here's something very curious. Even dealing with our calendar, at the turn of the age, when the age went from the age of Christ, the Aquarius age, now let's just say we put it on our calendar, and this shows how devious they are, how controlling they are, so bent on controlling things. As soon as the calendar struck 2001, which would be the turn of the age because of year zero, right? We're talking about on the Gregorian calendar, our calendars.
Right.
You had 9-11, right?
Right. But the 2,000-year age. Yes.
Right. Right. Now, Christ started preaching at the age of 12. He was found in the temple, right? He was found in the temple preaching. His parents asked, where have you been? Well, you know, I'd be in my father's house. This was the beginning of his trek in this world. Which brings us to this year, 2013. Now, isn't it curious that all these things kind of corresponded? Everybody felt a physical, spiritual change 2012-2013, which, by the way, on the Gregorian calendar would be the anniversary of Christ, his first teaching in the temple.
Right.
I just thought I'd throw that in there, but they pay attention to these things. They are obsessed with numbers and symbolism.
Absolutely. And isn't it amazing,
too?
Let me throw this in here because we're going to have to cut to a break, but can you stay for a little bit longer?
Yeah.
We're going to have to cut to a break, but don't forget, too, between 2001 and 2013, when they're messing around trying to build this one Freedom Tower, it's 12 years. And as you mentioned, Michael, they are very, very number-oriented and number-conscious. And this is the way, too, we can understand their thinking. Because, you know, we need to understand the thinking of the enemy. Folks, you're listening to the Hagman and Hagman Report on this Memorial Day edition. It's a live edition. One of the few people working on Memorial Day. One of the few shows live on Memorial Day. That's us. We're the Hagman and Hagman Report. We'll be right back after these messages with Michael. We're going to be right back. Stay with us.
If you love pineapple as much as I do, I've got some great news for you. You're going to love this offer from Freeze Dry Guy. For the month of May, Freeze Dry Guy is offering the finest quality freeze-dried pineapple, a case of 6 number 10 cans yielding 114 servings at a special introductory price. First quality freeze-dried pineapple grown and packed with nothing added. This healthy treat works wonders with salad. It's great for snacking, hiking, hunting, camping, and for adding to your food storage program. And please note that Freeze Dry Guy's foods will store on your shelf for decades. Order now and get free shipping to your front door within the lower 48 states. This special introductory price is good until May 31st. For more information and a free complete product list, go to freezedryguy.com or phone 866-404-3663. freezedryguy.com, 866-404-3663.
You want answers? I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth.
You can't handle the truth.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to hour number 3 of the Hagman and Hagman Report. This Memorial Day Monday, the 27th of May, 2013, we are back with Michael, who called in about 7 minutes before the break. And we're going to start right back up where he left off. Michael, are you still with us?
Yeah.
Excellent. All right. We were talking about the Gregorian calendar, the timeline the globalists follow, and the significance that that plays in our life today.
Right. Yeah. They're very articulate about their numerical trails, so to speak. And that tower that was erected is more like a temple in many respects. It's more like a temple. In fact, electronically, a temple housing information, as most temples do, this one will be the same thing. It will house quite a bit of information. Anyway, I thought I'd let your listeners know that so that they're clear on what these guys believe. Now, which, by the way, these world kingdoms, all of them, belong to these guys, which is one reason biblically it says, do not be a friend of the world. To have, to be a friend of the world or to be in the world is to have enmity with God. So you could say that those who are proficient in this world have separation from God because they're consumed with it. And if you're consumed with these kingdoms, you're also consumed with their ways. That's why certain people cannot master the system. They can't quite function because of moral obstacles and other characters that are given to a true believer. And it's frustrating,
hey, Michael, we're running into some interference. And,
on my end?
Yeah.
Oh, well, yeah, it looks that way. I don't know if you're on a cell phone, if you can adjust your head.
I don't even know if that's it. It's kind of scrambling, but...
What about now?
No, it's still pretty bad.
Same.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you can do this, if you can disconnect and call right back in, we'll put you right back. Sometimes dropping and you know reconnecting helps out a lot. Let's do that. And we'll cut you loose.
Okay, I sure will.
Okay. And folks, I got to tell you, it's interesting when we get certain and Joe, go ahead and you can handle that. But it's interesting when we get certain people on that talk about various issues. All of a sudden, you get this digitization. Now, we do understand things happen, and we understand bandwidth. We understand the whole.
Well, see, the chat's saying it wasn't distorted.
Okay.
All right. We'll bring him back.
We could barely hear him. So okay. Let's try it again.
All right. Michael, are you there now?
There we go. That's better. Yeah. Okay. All right.
Okay, great.
So go ahead and repeat what you said. I know that for some it'll be a repetition, but not for us. Go ahead and repeat what you said.
What I was saying about the obsession of the dates, how they follow things and how they love to mimic things, the... Freedom Tower, as they call it, could actually be likened to a temple. A temple holding valuable information for that institution. The Freedom Tower is no different. It will also house quite a bit of digital information. I don't know if anybody has actually checked out that antenna array or the electronics on the top of that tower. But if you look up the price, I'm sure you'd know that an antenna just simply doesn't cost that much. At any rate, they have, in fact, erected their temple to the United States. So, and by the way, that was a marker I personally was looking for based on things in black and white.
Explain that a little further.
Okay, the tower itself, most people think it's a tower, but if you remember, the Twin Towers housed a lot of data. This tower being a, let's just say it's a global repeater, almost like a global repeater station. It's positioned just right to capture just about every beam. It can capture even the arc beams that shoot from across the world. So it will collect and disperse quite a bit of information. And you have to remember, we have a brand new computer facility in the United States also that's been activated.
Where's that?
Well, we have those in the Midwest. There are actually two. There's one being built that they actually show the public, where the supercomputer would be. However, there's already one activated.
Okay. All right. Go on.
So that system, the tower, Denver, and the Midwest computer system, so to speak, are all intertwined, interconnected. Very interconnected. So now we're in this age of... they're really pushing this age through. They do not want Christians into this age at all. I think people should be mindful of that. And Doug, you're right, the attacks are on the Christians alone.
So are you saying, am I hearing this correct, that in addition to the in-your-face imagery of this spire and minaret atop of the One World Freedom Tower, this is also acting as a electronic repeater, if you will?
Yes, yes.
Are you saying
it's a fancy toy.
Is this also acting as some sort of data collection point?
Well, I want to explain something. Yeah, I don't know if it's any by trade. I am by trade an electronic and computer engineer. Signals, beams of light, what have you, simply need a small reflector to bounce all over the place. It takes one light conductive material, a receptive piece of material, to receive every single bit of that data. Once, I believe I told you guys about the part of the HARP system where they sent the beams out from the HARP stations and received them at a computer, which then interpreted the entire globe as a living 3D map. In other words, people are walking on this. Dogs are running. Cars are moving. Exhaust fumes are going up. This is a three-dimensional map. This was developed in the 40s and 60s, 40s through the 60s.
Are you talking like a hologram? Just to be clear.
Well, not quite a hologram. This is between the 40s and 60s, this was a 3D model on a computer. But it was taken from all the light points on the face of the Earth. The only thing it could not penetrate was water. This was a military application. This was the initial purpose of HARP. The cloud spraying actually began with World War II trying to cover our bombers. This was actually started by England. We just took it a step further. Once we sent the beams out, we had to reflect them back onto the Earth. And then, of course, they would reflect back, and the computer would then decipher that information to find out exactly what coordinate on the globe it came from. So they ended up with a very detailed 3D globe, a living globe of this world all the time. So in the stratosphere is where they actually spray the harsh chemicals, which anything that goes in the stratosphere has an approximate weight where it won't get below there. Of course, that's been happening lately, causing side effects. So because of the side effects, they're not going to admit they're actually spraying anything, because it causes autism and diabetes and high blood pressure and, quite a few other things. But this is what they've been doing. The 3D map they have now is a hologram. There's one component missing, and that is to identify each individual on the map. Right now they're doing it with cell phones. One cell phone, of course, can pick up a radius of 3,000 feet. That's a very long way. This is one cell phone through sound. It can pick up 3,000 feet. So it's bouncing. It almost functions as a sonar. So it's continuously bouncing these small light waves, and it can measure it using little voltage. So it doesn't matter if you have a cell phone or not. If your neighbor down the street has one, they've got everybody pinpointed the radius. All that data is being collected. They can identify most people, but they need to identify every single person on the globe. And how do you do that? By giving them a mark. The tower assists in this operation. See, the same time the tower went up, so did three specific satellites. They all work in unison.
All right. So, to what end here? What's taking place?
That is a tracking system for what the Christians will call the Mark of the Beast, or the Luciferian Initiate. in order to enter this new age that they built, it's already been documented and written that no one will enter the new age without taking the Luciferian initiate or taking the mark of Lucifer. An initiate would be like our president. They go through an initiation process, whether it be with Skull and Bones, whatever, one of these small groups. But they're also keyed in and marked. That's what a lot of people don't know. In fact, many of our leaders already have a chip.
Oh, yeah.
They're identified all the time. Presently, there are, I believe it's 1.2 million employees chipped. Banking institutions have their people chipped in a lot of cases. A lot of people are getting chipped so they can be identified by this system. Those who are not identified are instant. Here's how it works. If you're not identified, you're an instant target. Simple as that. That's very simple, right? If one of the drones flew over, but couldn't identify a specific target, right?
Okay.
That target would be eliminated if it cannot identify that target. Now, this is not, this technology is in place right now, but it's not yet in use.
But let me stop you right there. We know that there are certain high eye-value individuals who are chipped, okay? But when we're talking about the Mark of the Beast chip, are we not talking about something that you've got to renounce your faith for and take it in the forehead or the hand?
Well, it's called a Luciferian initiate. In other words, you have to say that you do, in fact, honor that god of forces, with Lucifer. The only way to get that chip is to renounce every religion you've ever been a part of.
Okay. All right.
So there'll be no Christians taking the Luciferian initiate.
Right.
There will be no Muslims taking the Luciferian initiate. Which brings me to another point, and this is why things are going the way they're going. This is a quote. This is a quote from more than one meeting. Here's the quote. We cannot afford to delay any longer. We must remove the Christians who hold the key to our destruction. How do you like that quote?
All right. I'd like it better if I knew where it came from, when it was, who said it, and where they said it, and when it was said. How's that?
Well, that was in one of your summits. It was one of your high-level summits. This came from the top. This came from the top, the puppet master, so to speak.
So when you say the top, we're talking about
the top.
The Illuminists. You're talking about the people above the Obamas, the people above all of the puppets that we see running things, right?
These are the people who made everybody nervous because now they cannot do what they need to do. There are certain barriers they won't cross. They are powerless in certain areas. And I'm sure everybody has wondered, why are things lagging on? We can see they're trying, they're attempting, but something is always in the way. Now you know why.
We are.
They need,
we are.
That's right. They need whatever's. Now I'm speaking from an outside point of view. I am a Christian, but I'm speaking from an outside point of view. Whatever resides in a Christian is in the way. It's something that cannot be seen, something that cannot be touched, but something that their spirits do not work with. In fact, they go into almost an instant-type chaos-type deal. They can't do it. So we know the next step. If they can't do it with the Christians in the way, then the next likely step is to get rid of the Christian.
And how are we going to do this, or how are they going to do this more appropriately in mass?
I'm glad you asked that. The first thing is this, in order to make a Christian denounce his or her faith, which is the only way because the demons can't touch you, there are very few things that can touch a Christian unless it's a Christian. Now, they look for holes. through linguistics. They search your accounts, they search your conversations, they search everything to find holes, and they will formulate your future based on that. Your future meaning news media that you may see. And believe me, it's down to a science where they can take a day, manipulate all the news stations and everything else, and target, psychologically target, a certain group of people. They do this all the time. But the only way they can make you renounce your faith, to make you go against the spiritual principles of your faith. Sadly, but very few people know that. See, they're not going to outright it. They can't outright attack you. And this is why even biblically it says that they will cause great and small to take the mark of the beast. If they had the power to remove Christians out of the way, it would have been done. The only reason it happened in Israel was because it resided in prophecy. The Jews died because that was in prophecy. Other Christians died because that was in prophecy. And remember when I told you these guys will not circumvent prophecy. They work well within prophecy. But they know prophecy better than a Christian does. And this is what catches people off guard.
All right. But I guess my point of contention here, or my point here is, you are, according to the Bible, let me just preface it by saying, according to my understanding of the Bible, you are not going to have a Christian that is going to be fooled or otherwise drugged, we'll say, or incapacitated to take the mark. It's going to be a conscious decision that the Christian will be will take the mark. Is that not a correct statement, or is that a correct statement?
Let's say this before I answer that. Let's say this. To force a person to take something can happen many ways. Number one is their family is starving. And they know their family is starving, and you offer them something. You're actually, you know they're starving, you're not going to help. So you're forcing this person, based on environmental circumstances, to take whatever you need to offer. There will be some life or death issues. In Revelation, there are three specific groups that are taken out of this world. The first were killed. The second group was just taken, translated, if you will, and the third group was beheaded. These are three specific groups in Revelation that were taken to the kingdom that way. So we know it's going to be a lot of manipulation and taking the mark. I remember when banks, everything went online. All transactions went online. Do you know how many people said, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to do banking online. I'm not going to do this, that, and the other. But they're doing it now because it's normal now.
So a lot of people, right. Unless we don't go along and continue this pattern of conformity, my dad's question is it black and white, the mark of the beast, taking the mark? And there's a lot more that goes into it than just actually receiving a mark, because we know the Bible says God seals his own on their forehead, but do you know if you're sealed or not? Does he put a mark on you to where you know?
Well, I don't believe God plays tricks on his people, okay?
It's not God, though.
No, okay, what I'm saying here is I don't believe that we have a God that would allow the devil to cheat.
No, he's not going to cheat. It's going to be identifiable. But the point I was making was there are many people who are wearing the mark on the sleeve already. They've already compromised. And so when it's presented to them, you know what they're going to say? See, when you do one small compromise, you end up doing another compromise. Then you end up doing another. And when the mark is actually presented, I hate to say it, but I would say that at least 70% of Christians are going to say, you know, it's not that bad. Maybe it's not really the mark. Maybe it's not really the mark. But in their heart of hearts, they're going to know, I shouldn't do this. I shouldn't do this. Now, by that time, if we read the Bible, then we know he has monuments all over the world making people worship this image. So, but the people who have compromised, they won't see the difference. Your audience right now and us right now will say no. We'll say no. And this is why the globalists, they need to continue to stage certain things to break us down. They need to target us to break us down.
Yeah, and they're doing it.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're doing it. And it's you're exactly right. So the run-up to the mark, of course, is the technology that we've seen explode over the last decade or two or three. But the bottom line here is when you are in that line for that mark, you are going to know in your soul, in your mind, in your intellect, in your every fiber of your being, it is my belief, and correct me if I'm wrong, if you are a Christian, a true Christian, you are going to know that you are selling your soul to the devil. Now, that said, and I believe that the remnant, this is going to cause the remnants of Christians, you know, where people will be bartering, trading, selling, existing outside of that system of commerce that would require the mark. And this is what we're preparing for to some extent. We're preparing for the time period. But okay, so I get that. How close are we to this? To the ultimatum here.
My opinion? Here's my opinion. Here's my opinion based on certain activity. I really do believe that we are at the precipice, that 2014, the new institution will be erected. What I mean by the new institution is that since 2007, there has been the implementation of a whole new government. There has been the implementation of a system that does not work off of currency, nor does it, it does not use currency to measure trade or any other financial term you want to use. This system does not use it. They're about to take the gold and silver. They're trying to absorb it in factories. Listen to what they're doing. They're taking as technology grows, the demand for gold and silver also grows because electronic components and computers in particular use gold and silver because they conduct good. So they've been taking that at a manufacturer's this is hidden in the market. They're sucking up all the gold and silver. And pretty soon it's going to be very tough to get it. You're absolutely right. But I have a deep concern. Now, while we are hidden and we can do trades with each other, here's an issue. Once the currency changes, of which they need a crisis before I'll say after the currency changes, because in my mind the currency is going to be the first to go. After the currency changes, the new system is going to be erected with the new government. Some of this I know from Black and White, a very small piece I know from, it's just probability. Once the currency is gone and people are shuffling, wondering what they're going to do, they're going to try to reintroduce some type of order because it will be chaos, but they're going to do it with a new system, a new number. Each person will have a new number, and of course they're going to have to get indoctrinated into this new system and how it works, because see, there'll be no longer any retirement, no Social Security, a person's worth to whatever country they're in will be their allotted income. This is the type of system we're moving into. And this system is already taking effect. This is the instability in the markets. And you know what, Doug? Doesn't it seem like those in higher positions simply don't care what happens to the money?
Of course. Look, we already have Tim Geithner, who confided to Kyle Bass. Now, Bass did not identify him by name, but they're going to kill the U.S. dollar. You know, it doesn't make any sense. We have Japan on the precipice of disaster, which is going to take down the United States, this according to V. We've got global crisis in currency. So the G20, the G7, they've already made their they've already come up with the solution to this. They're just waiting to create the problem. And that's, I mean, to me, that's pretty simple.
That's the crisis to come. And Christianity, of course, must be overthrown because it's based off Jewish sources. That's important to people now. And here's what they're going to replace it with. Here's what they believe. Quote, because only the rule of force is right. End quote.
Wait a second. If I can ask you this, what's it going to look like for Christianity to be overthrown? I mean, I'm curious about this. Is someone going to get up there and say Christianity is no more, as is Islam, as is Hinduism, as is whatever? Or what's it going to look like?
No, absolutely. It's a faith. It's a belief. So how do you overcome a belief? Facts, right? Demonstration, right? That's the only way to overcome a belief. See, here's a fact, Doug. A lot of Christians say they're Christians right now, having not seen God, having not seen Christ. However, if someone came along and said this is the true religion, and they could demonstrate everything behind it, they had an answer for every question you ever had, it seemed plausible. And this group could do miracles. This group could do things you just couldn't believe. The average, because Christians are supposed to be above average, the average Christian would drop their faith and compromise going over to that. See?
Okay.
Because the bottom line is
that's your scenario. Okay, and let me just add this. This is what I believe. I believe that we are probably being prepared for a great deception that's going to be involved aliens, this UFO deception, and they're going to come to. Actually, they're already here, if you will. But that's a different story. Not aliens, not space aliens, but demonic aliens. But it's going to look like space aliens coming to this planet and saying, well, you know what, the lineage of Jesus Christ through the Merovingian bloodline, for example, they're already here, and here's the real truth, and that's going to pervert the Christianity, and it's going to cause people to doubt their own faith. Am I getting close?
Yeah, they're going to doubt their faith, but it's more like it's going to adore Christianity. You know what? It's one thing to make one denounce their faith. It's another to absorb it with another belief to justify the individual. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does, actually.
That's a common psyop that's used today in the military. You don't actually fight a belief. You absorb it. It's so much easier to absorb a belief with a higher belief than it is because the chances are very slim that you'll actually make someone denounce their belief.
Let me use a different word than absorb. How about meld? Like mix, meld. Would that be a better term? Okay.
Yes. 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 Now, the other point is this. So long as they can keep everyone looking in the wrong direction, they're free to work. They are free to work if you're looking in the wrong direction. Let's say this. Most people don't know this, but you've got the global armies amassing right now. They are training harder than they've ever trained in history. They are training. There are sections, if you will, that are training together. There are two testing grounds. Syria is one. Saudi Arabia. But I can tell you now, Saudi Arabia will not exist soon. It simply is not going to exist.
It's the nation of Saudi Arabia. Why won't it exist? What's going
it's
on there?
It's not going to exist. Well, there are strategic minds that see Saudi Arabia as a very large obstacle and position, a prized position to have. And I'm telling you now, they're going to take it. That's my opinion. But in my opinion, Saudi Arabia won't exist too long.
It's going to
exist.
Will it be absorbed within a different economic region? I mean, when we go to a one world currency, it's going to there's going to have to be a realignment of nations to an extent, I believe. Plus, the Third World War is going to do the same thing as it did in the First and Second World War. So, I can see where that could happen, but you're still going to have this caliphate that is going to be a stepping stone toward that one world order. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, they need a crisis, but the same people who made the Middle East are going to rearrange it.
That's pretty
same
evident.
Ones.
Yeah,
the same ones who drew the lines are going to rearrange it, which brings up a real crisis in Europe that I foresee coming. There will be Europe's future is not very bright, not very bright at all. Europe is largely Muslim right now. And according to intel, there are awakened sleeper cells over there, very active, planning, plotting. Of course, you know about the arms trades in the Middle East. Well, you may not know about the long-range missiles that can reach Europe. And I believe the last count was 12,000 were sold to those who would want to do harm to Europe.
By whom? By whom? To whom?
That I can't reveal that. But they have long-range missiles that can reach Europe. I'm sure you could hunt this down if you follow political meetings. It only makes sense that those people who have agreed to do such things would hold meetings in 8 days from now. Yeah, those same people would probably be the ones who told those. So we're looking at a global destabilization. But it's not the end of the world. But this is just a destabilization. This is to induce a crisis. They're pulling. I'll ask you this. Have you noticed that every aspect of what could go wrong is now coming out? Have you noticed that?
Domestically or globally or both?
Well, we're looking at globally. Look at the global economy. Look at the scenarios that we never thought we'd see. They're coming to fruition. Some of the people who have talked about these things for a long time that didn't happen, they're starting to come to fruition. A while back, I told you guys they wanted plans sped up. They need them to go forward quickly, which means the timeline is on the horizon, and they have a duty to perform to destabilize the entire globe. This will happen in conjunction with geological changes. And they know exactly when the geological changes are going to take effect.
All right.
What should we be looking for? I mean, we're talking any kind of disaster that would have a effect or could reach or have an effect on the entire nation? Are we talking a small conflict or a small disaster? Or a few things at once, like a disaster and economical crisis?
It'll be a few things at once. And if you've noticed, things seem to happen around geological events. A lot of people may say, now how does that happen? It's simple. If you had the knowledge, the true knowledge of the Earth and its geological history, then you now know when it repeats itself. So why not time an era of crisis around geological crises? They won't teach you the true history of what Earth entails. It's kind of like the four seasons. Well, the Earth has many seasons. They know these seasons, but they won't share this information with the general public. So if I were in charge and I needed to destabilize anything, I would do that around storm seasons. I would do it around when the earthquakes start to happen, which is caused through vibrations. And you're going to see a lot of correlations like that. One thing the United States people should really, really watch for are rodent migrations. They should really watch for that.
Rodents and migrations? Like
they're
rats, mice? And...
Rats and mice. Okay. You live in Pennsylvania, you're going to notice them this year. They're going to be heading south.
Not south to my house or not.
Yeah, if they're heading south, then we might miss them.
Yeah, they're going south, and they're going to migrate. But part of that, I'll give you a hint, part of that is due to something near to Fukushima. I challenge anyone to see how much money they've actually put into the nuclear power plant near the Mississippi. After you have your findings, you may be shocked as to why they're not doing this, why they're not spending money in proper maintenance, why the generators go down, why the grounding rods slip off.
How about this? This is me saying this, not you. How about this? How about we have we have World War III breakout in the Middle East. At the same time, we have a global financial crisis. At the same time, we have a blood sacrifice, if you will, to celebrate the birth of a child. Let's just say, and I'm not going to name that child or that couple having that child, but we have all these things happen at once. Wouldn't it be rather interesting, the timing, given the, because we started out talking about the Gregorian Babylonian calendars and about how the dates are important to, and the hinge moments and moments in time are important to these Luciferians. Does this sound reasonable?
Yes. Yes. And personally, I would certainly watch, I said this before, but Europe is something to watch, not financially, but on a disaster basis. Europe is something to watch. And you know that most sacrifices are done on home territory. So if, let's just say, if the king of the world rose, wherever he rises, and, I don't know, maybe 10,000 die that same day, followed by, 44 million, possibly the next month. Yeah, that would be feasible.
All right.
Because they're all culminating. They're all culminating. But the money, ironically, the money is not the crisis key here. The money is not the... Because when the money goes, people are very resilient, which always gets in the way of plans. People seem to talk one way and do another. They get very resilient when things happen, and they've been gauging this. But what better way to cause a crisis than some type of racial stirring of the pot? The rubber band has already been stretched. They just need someone to let it go.
Well, tensions are high.
Or have it snap. But one way to create racial strife, racial tensions would be, look at our government structure. And boy, what would happen if something happened in that realm, in that venue?
Right.
You know,
right.
Holy cow.
That same day will be high-level martial law. Everything will go into lockdown. At that point, if it could work like they wanted to, a large portion of the population would be on defensive, the other side would be on offensive, and then they would have plants. In an ideal situation, they would have plants, possibly 42 million, 42 or 49 million plants in the United States who would go around instigating things once this started to happen, causing people to react, and then they wouldn't have to go and kill anybody. Civilians would kill themselves.
Right. They just clean up.
Of them would. Yeah. Right. So, if they instituted that, I guess the question is, where would it begin? Would it begin with a heinous operation, or would it begin with some children? That theory was tested, by the way, and the data came back. And the data was interpreted as it wouldn't give enough momentum. People don't care enough for that.
You're talking about Sandy Hook?
They don't care enough for that. Yeah.
Yeah.
Data is collected from everything that happens in the world. The data is analyzed. The chatter is analyzed. The algorithms are run. And when it comes back, people simply don't care enough to get involved in things like that. However, when it comes to political tension, it's off the scale. It really is off the chart, which goes back to what Joe was saying. People will die for their political position. They will die for a piece of paper. Yet, they will not put their lives on the line for their own Christianity, their faith in Christ. And this is what we're seeing now. Because any high-tension argument can begin with a political conversation or a simple point of view. Intentions will raise. They will raise. And Doug, next time I'm on here, there's something very important I need to share concerning sleepers. Let's say Manchurian candidate of the wrong type. People who have effectively been trained mentally, and I'm going to tell you how they've been trained.
Through MK Ultra type organizations that were, because the church committee.
Well, Doug, you have that group, but then you have children who are between the ages of 11 and 16 who have been well trained.
Okay.
I'll be careful when I show that, but they have been well trained. And there are trigger signals.
Sure.
That they will respond to.
Well, and in fairness, because we're running short on time here, but I will say this. If you look at what happened, what the church committee exposed with the CIA operations, the $30 million, the thousands of unwitting participants and some witting participants in the mind control experimentation. It's not that far out there to believe in what's taking place today. It's just been refined and reformatted, reformulated and renamed. So it continues. The committee stopped nothing. It just changed the method of operation. Now, having said that, Yeah. Look, I totally believe, I believe in cutouts. I believe in Manchurian candidates, and I believe in, shall we say, children that have been programmed to such an extent that they would act as Manchurian candidates through both the pharmaceuticals as well as mind control. Look, Fritz Springmeier did a whole series of information about what's going on here, among others. So is this what we're talking about? I mean, is this a part of what we're talking about?
Yes, and I'll tell you this, that most of your from an electronic engineering point of view, most of your game systems have very targeted frequencies in the way they interact with the human brain. It's amazing how they've mapped the human brain, how they can have devices communicate with the frequencies your brain puts off. That can be tested, by the way, with an Android phone. A simple Android phone can do that. But I think you'd be shocked at what it has actually done to the children. In fact, when they're playing a game, most parents will notice their child goes into almost it's like a deep sense of concentration. They're immersed. They call it game immersion. They're immersed in the game. Their coordination skyrockets and everything else. When they're
right
outside of that game, all previous symptoms are reinstated as though they never played the game. It's like a pause in their life. This is not just happenstance. A long time ago, they used to have very expensive computers and devices that they would use to change someone's mental state. Now, through the advent of technology, most people have them on their desktop, in front of their television, and so forth. But see, knowing these things can also help one control themselves, because I'm telling you now, there are factors that will be implemented that will take a reasonably calm person who has no idea of anything, who may be very good at heart, and cause them to go into a high fit of frustration. Some people feel that now. They can be sitting there calm as ever, and all of a sudden they get frustrated. Then maybe a few hours later they'll hear something in their ear, like a buzzing or humming or a high-pitched sound, then it goes away. But it's causing people to get irritated. It's causing frustration factors to go up. It's causing people to be moody. But these are byproducts of operations that are currently in play. They will increase. They have the frequencies to cause aggravation, to drive you to the point of insanity or very close to it. And everybody has sensed it. Everybody has had a day since 2009 where they have just absolutely got frustrated. And it doesn't matter what type of person you are. If these are weapons, for lack of a better term.
Yeah. And what I know about this is people can be impacted by these signal generators that sometimes electromagnetic fields, pulse light or sound, we have the electromagnetic weapons. But to be able, in a way now where they can speak to you, speak into your mind, almost like a whisper of the devil, giving you suggestive thoughts and other thoughts, they can put these right into your mind through frequencies.
Yes, they can. In the 1998, they mapped the communication waves of the brain. They tested it out in the medical field where they had probes stuck to people's heads. They would control a mouse, a computer. They would totally interface with a computer. In 2010, they made a greater step. It's wireless. They can wirelessly communicate with the brain. In 2012, they had Intel shrink the packages. So now the technology, now this is commercial technology. This is not your military industrial technology, which, by the way, is about 500 years advanced, just so you know. But we're talking about civilian technology that can do this. So just imagine the military devices that are in play that can do the same thing with much greater efficiency. We're dealing with a whole new aspect, and I continually tell everybody, if you're not grounded in your own faith, if you're standing on the fence, it's time to make a choice, not tomorrow, but now. Because when these things take effect, when they kick in the high gear, and they will, if you're sitting on the fence and you have no root, you're in trouble. And the first thing they're going to do is break down the magnetic field. While there's still some time, do you guys know what happens if an astronaut goes to space without an artificial magnetic field?
Without an artificial magnetic field? No.
Right. Okay. If you don't have an artificial magnetic field, your neurological connections begin to break. In Russia, some of their first astronauts went up there. They lost contact with them. The reason being is because their neurological connections broke and they came back down as zombies. They couldn't do anything. They were brain dead. The neurological connections were not repairable. So, if the Earth's magnetic field is interrupted, it could potentially break neurological connections in the brain.
Yeah.
This is another one of their targeted things they're looking for. They're looking for an incident that will do just this, which explains the true nature of underground bases. Because all underground bases have an artificial magnetic field, something that simple, that replicates Earth's magnetic field. If we lose it, your neurological connections are gone too. Now, can you imagine that chaos?
No. And a book I am looking at, Controlling the Human Mind, talks about this, about the behavioral control that is possible with the revolution in military affairs with these new technologies that will be able to control their citizens. And they say for peacekeeping missions, but...
Look, we don't have to even go that far. Just look at the sonic weapons that were deployed at the G7 or G8 summit down in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, a couple of years ago. And I mean, but the other thing too, and I think this is important for people to understand, that our DNA actually responds to harmonics, and our DNA's got our own individual harmonics, like the grooves on a record. Every one of us respond to a different, slightly different frequency.
Yeah,
It does.
And any interruption in that signal can either cause the change or send you back to, animalistic behavior. That's absolutely right.
Interesting. Very interesting.
Michael, you brought us all the way to the end of the show.
Yeah.
In a short time.
Very interesting topic, and it's kind of like Art Bell's dreamland here in a way.
I always love listening to Michael talk, and to go back and listen again, I understand even more. And Michael, we appreciate you coming on and talking with us and sharing the information you can, and we definitely will have to do it again. Until then,
okay.
You stay safe, and hopefully we can be in touch, and we will keep our heads up and our eyes open.
God bless you,
Michael.
Okay, guys. Thank you for your time. All right, man.
All right, thank you.
All right, that was Michael, shall we say, an insider, if you will. Folks, we've reached the end of our program on this Memorial Day, on this Day of Remembrance. A very solemn day, actually. It is the 27th day of May, 2013. I want to thank each and every one of you for joining us. Thank you for your patience with us as we walk through these issues together and try to clarify what in the world is going on. And sometimes it gets a little deep, and sometimes it gets a little bit twisted. But you know, part of it is getting ahead of this confusion, and I think that's a very important part. We have to be ahead of this. So with that, I want to say God bless you. Listen to Steve Quayle tonight on Coast to Coast AM, 3 hours tonight.
Well, then I won't get any sleep.
Well, that's...
Not that we do sleep like that anyway, but no, it's going to be exciting 3 hours. I'm going to try and listen to as much as I can. Don't forget Thursday, Nathan Liao. And we have the North Carolina Insecurity.
Oh, yeah, that's
National
right.
Insecurity Seminar coming up.
That's right.
June 6th through 11th. Go to homelandsecurityus.com.
June 7th to 9th. 7th, 8th, 9th. If you haven't done so already, go to homelandsecurityus.com. Click on the National Insecurity Seminar and register if you're going to be in the area. Love to meet you. Love to spend some time with you.
And the reason I brought up Nathan Liao again is because remember what Michael said tonight when he comes on. It does correlate. And with that, have a blessed day, everybody. I hope you guys had a great Memorial Day with your families. It's back to the grind for everybody for the most part tomorrow, and we will see you then at our normal time. God bless you.